Blog Talk Radio.
Evil tried to stop redemption, so mercy. Good evening, everybody. This is Reaching Out Radio International. I'm Evangelist Prophet Edward Eberle. I'm the host of God's Hour of Truth. I'd like to welcome everybody here this evening in the United States and around the world. I know there's many countries that are listening right now. Matter of fact, I send my messages each week. I have a number of pastors around the world that I send a message to. And I've been getting some wonderful reports back with these messages, these radio programs that you're listening to right now. There have been some wonderful things happening. So I want you all to expect God to work in your life and through your life through these messages here, because that's what they're designed for. I was thinking about it today, and, you know, when I minister here, it's not just what I'm teaching about or talking about. That's the key. But I release the Holy Spirit by faith to go over these airwaves to touch you in whatever way you need touched by God. You might need physical healing. Maybe you don't know Jesus, your Savior. Maybe you need delivered. Maybe you need some answers. Maybe it's financial. Maybe you need direction. But when you tune in on this program, please expect God to meet you where you're at. Expect Him to meet you, because God won't disappoint you. Because those that are hungry and thirsting after righteousness, He will fill them, He says. He's looking for hungry people, people who want to serve Him. He's looking for people who want to learn His word, want to obey Him, and want to follow Him. So just tune in. Just tune everything else out at this time. Just have your mind just focus on what we're going to be talking about tonight and the Lord, because the Lord wants to minister to you tonight. I don't know how many people are listening, but that's not important. The important thing is He's ministering to you personally. It's not just thousands of people, but it's individually, because He's ministering to you, and that's the all-important thing. Before we get started tonight, let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless the service tonight. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Father. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Father, as we come before You tonight, Lord, we just thank You for another opportunity to be on the airwaves, to speak Your word, to preach and teach Your word. Father, there's many hungry listeners out here, Father, that have needs that I couldn't even begin to know what they are, Father, and I couldn't begin to even do anything about it. But, Father, You can, and You are listening. You said in Psalms 46:1 that You're a very present help in time of trouble in all times. You're very present. You are there, Father. You are everywhere. So, Father, right now I just ask You tonight that You just give me the words to say. May I not speak anything out of my own knowledge or anything that I would say, but may it be the words that You want spoken, Father, because we know that You know the need, Father. So right now I would just ask You to use my lips, use my mind, and, Lord, work through me as You see fit. And, Father, I just, by faith right now, I just release the Holy Spirit into these airways right now in the name of Jesus. I just release that anointing to go forth. You said Your anointing and Your word will not come back void, but it will go forth and fulfill what You want it to fulfill. So, Father, right now I just release by faith Your anointing into these airways to touch each person that's looking for You right now. And, Father, for everything that's accomplished, we'll give You all the glory and all the praise. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. And they all said, amen and amen and amen. Well, hallelujah. Praise God. It's great to be on the air this evening again. I really look forward to these broadcasts, because I just love to talk about the Lord, to preach and teach the Lord, and see the hand of God work mightily in and through my life and touch others with it and then do great things in their lives. I just love to see the power of God moving into people's lives, healing them, setting them free. That's my purpose in life, and that's the greatest joy that we can have, is seeing the power of God move in our own personal lives and through our lives to help others. That's what it's all about. Amen. Tonight, our subject is called the inseparable natural and spiritual. The inseparable natural and spiritual. You can't separate the two. You know, a lot of people try to separate the spiritual things from the natural things, but that can't be done. Many Christians don't realize that what they do in the natural, if they would apply in the spiritual, they would get the same results many times they do in the natural. There's principles that we do in the natural that brings us results, but we have to do certain principles, these principles also in the spiritual for it to work. Somehow in the spiritual, we seem to think that all we have to do is say, well, Lord, take care of it. I'm just going to pray for this. You do this, Lord, you do that. And we just kind of leave it all in the hands of God. But, you know, we're in covenant with God, and in this covenant we have promises, but we have certain things that he expects out of us and certain things we expect out of him. It's a two-way covenant. And he already did his part there when he sent Jesus to the cross and gave us all these promises for life in this life and for the life to come. But now it's our turn and our part in order to walk in these things. And we're going to discuss some things tonight that will kind of give you a better understanding of what we're really talking about here. Because it's a thing you'll see as we go along, you'll understand a little more and it'll be more simple to you because it's not really complicated, but many people just don't understand it. Okay, in these examples, I have nine things listed here that I'm going to be speaking of tonight that really is going to show you what we're talking about. And the first thing we're going to speak of here is called attitude, our attitude. And you know, in an attitude, that's spiritual as well as natural. And I'll give you an example. You know, motivational speakers, when they go someplace, the first thing they do, many times I've heard them say this, they said that they go forth and they will speak about the attitude of the people. They won't talk about the mechanics or the business or the job that the people need to know in order to be successful selling or whatever they do. But they need to check the attitudes of the people because you can be an expert salesperson, you can be an expert in anything, but if you have the wrong attitude, you're not going to make it. You are better off being less skillful with the right attitude, because the right attitude, you're going to get to the place of overcoming. But if you have a skill and no attitude, you're not going to make it. You're going to fail. So the first thing they do before they even get into the business is the attitude portion. And they use spiritual laws that we're going to be using here tonight. Many times I've heard sometimes of them speaking, and I just think about 150 scriptures a lot of times as they are speaking things of how it all applies to that. And they're teaching God's spiritual laws, putting him into a worldly corporation, that we must have these spiritual laws within us in order to make things successful in this natural life that we're living. Okay, attitude. You know, our attitude governs our altitude. No attitude, low attitude, low altitude. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That is really your attitude, what you think in your heart, what you see, what you determine, what your attitude is. Is it a positive thing or is it, oh my, we're not going to make it, we're going to fail. How am I going to do this? I know I can't do this. I know this guy can do better than I can do. I'm going to do a bad show. I'm going to fail this. I'm going to fail that. Many people have this running through their minds when they go to do things, because the enemy attacks you, first of all, when you reach out to do something, step out to do something, he attacks you. And you have to be prepared to have to keep that attitude positive, because recognize something in your attitude as Christian. If you're a Christian, your attitude depends. You can do all things through Jesus Christ that strengthens you, because you're not doing it in yourself. You're doing it by the help of the Holy Spirit. So you see, you and I can have a great attitude because, hey, I can do all things through Christ. Christ can do it through me, you see. I'm not dependent on my knowledge, my wisdom, my strength, and my ability, but Lord, what I can't do, you're enabling me to do. So if God calls you to do something, he is enabling you and he's providing for you the things that you have need to be successful at it, you see. That's why we can have a positive attitude in spite of the feelings that sometimes come across us or what people say, or sometimes maybe what appears to be a setback or something like that. We can have the right attitude because he says in Philippians 1:6, he that has begun a good work in you will continue unto the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, the time that we leave this earth is what it boils down to. As long as you and I are on this earth and we are here, if we continue with God and obey his direction or obedient to him and walk the steps out that he directs us, because he said the steps of a good man are word of the Lord, or a good woman. It doesn't matter. Our steps are word of God. We have thoughts and plans in our minds and our hearts, but yet we have to have the steps of God ordered and directed by him in order for us to get to the place that we have in our heart, you see, because you and I don't know the steps. We don't know the steps to take. He said, my ways and thoughts aren't yours. They're above ours, he says, you see, in Isaiah 55:8-9. So we need the Holy Spirit to direct us. But we can have that attitude, a no-so attitude, that, hey, As I think in my heart, I am, and I know I have Jesus within me, so the greater one is in me, so therefore I'm not going to fail because he's helping me. He's enabling me to accomplish what I'm setting out to do, what God has put in my heart to say. So we have to have that attitude, a positive attitude, not a negative attitude. And, you know, you even feel great when you have a positive attitude. You have a smile on your face. You feel good and everything. But if you have a down and a Molly Grubbs attitude and I'm not going to make it, I'm going to fail, you hang your head down and feel low, and it really, you look bad in front of people. Because if you're out there trying to accomplish something or do something, how convincing can you be to others and influential can you be if you have a frown on your face and a, I don't know if I'm going to make it, I guess. If you have that kind of an attitude, those people aren't going to pay any attention to you. The world is looking for a person that knows what they're standing for, stand for the right thing, is honest, and is going to fulfill what he says he's going to do. That's what the world is looking for. They're looking for people that are up and over, and they're going to do what they say and say what they do. They're going to do that, and that's what mankind is looking for in this world today. People are going to take the bull by the horns, and you and I can do that because we have God within us. The greater one is within us, so we can have that positive attitude. So remember, it begins with your attitude. You have to get that in order first, because if you don't, everything else doesn't count. It does not count because you're not going to make it. You, as a man thinks in his heart, he's going to become. As you think, if you're thinking down, you're not going to make it, you see. So have that attitude, the good attitude, and you have a high altitude. The greater the attitude, the higher the altitude. Okay, the next thing here is self-discipline. And that is the thing that most people run from. They don't want to hear that. It's not a popular subject. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9:25, those that are striving for the mastery must have self-control or temperance in all things. And that simply means self-control or temperance. Now, temperance is a fruit of the Spirit found in the book of Galatians 5:22-23. Temperance, self-discipline. Now, why do you need self-discipline? Well, he said if you're striving for the mastery, in other words, if you're going to master something, if you're going to become proficient at it, you must have control. Now, why do you need control? Well, say you want to be a professional golfer, we'll say. Okay, if you want to be a professional golfer and you feel you're called that way to do something, do you think you could just go out maybe once a year and golf or maybe once a month and golf if you want to get in the big leagues with golf? Of course not. You're going to have to somehow, if you're going into a realm as much time as you have, you're going to have to golf almost every day or as often as you possibly can. Because like they say, practice makes perfect. That's a world saying, that practice makes perfect. But yet that's really a truthful saying right there. So now in self-discipline, you see, we have to practice. Okay, discipline ourselves to do what we have to do to get where we're going. Now some things that we do, we use like say a professional fighter. He wants to become a champion. Self-discipline means he has to eat right, he has to train, he has to exercise, he has to spar, he has to work out, he has to get up early usually and run. And you see, these things would be more challenging than most things that we would have to do as people, you know, be a lot harder to do than being a golfer or a bowler or something because you're really hammering your body. But self-discipline are the things that you and I must do in this body, whether we feel like it or not, to attain the goal that we're reaching out to attain, you see. We have to sacrifice. We have to do what we have to do to get there, you see. And that's not always easy, folks. Taking it in the spiritual realm, self-discipline means that we need to pray. We need to meditate on the word. We need to pay our tithes. We need to go to church. We need to study. We need to be a witness. We need to fast from times. We need to do so many different things, being a witness, teaching the word, witnessing to people. There's all types of facets that we have to do and should do if we're going to reach the realm, like it says, of mastery. You see, if we're going to be a master minister or a master Christian, if you're not in the fivefold ministry, but still to be proficient at what we do, whether you're an evangelist, pastor, teacher, prophet, whatever it might be, to be proficient in that thing, you have to do what you have to do to attain that place that you become a pro at it, so to speak, to put it in worldly vernacular terms, or be proficient or mastery at it. And sometimes it's difficult. You have to do things you don't want to do. Maybe God will tell you to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and pray. He wakes me me up sometimes about that time, and I'll be praying maybe at 6 o'clock or later in the morning a lot of times. And that seems to be God's time for people, 4 o'clock or in the wee hours of the morning. He gives you things, and he gives you messages, and he gives you words and everything else, and usually in the middle of the night. Now, see, that's not easy, is it? But yet there's things that you and I have to do in order to get to the place where God wants to take us, you see. And if we say, well, I don't feel like it, I don't feel like it. Well, if you don't feel like it, there's nothing wrong with not feeling like it. But where the wrongness is if you don't do it, you see. If you leave the I don't feel like it govern you to say, well, I don't feel like it, so I'm not going to do it, that's where the wrongness comes in. Because everybody at one time or another is not going to feel like doing something. I don't always feel like praying. I don't always feel like reading the Word. I don't always feel like doing things like that. Nobody does. Nobody always feels like it. But this Christian walk, we are to be dead to our flesh, and therefore we're to deny our flesh, and we're not to give in to what the flesh says to do that we should be doing, you see. So that's where discipline comes in. And the only one that can discipline us is us. That's a choice that you and I have to make. God has nothing in that. He encourages us, but you see, we're a free will agent that you and I must make that decision. Hey, I'm going to do this because I know it's going to make me a better me. It's going to help me be a better witness. It's going to help me be a better businessman or whatever area we're in, you see. But we must do that. And there's sacrifice for anything. To attain anything in this world or out of this world, there's a sacrifice. There's a price to be paid, folks. You don't get to the top easily. It's following things that God has you to do, being obedient to him. It sometimes requires things that you just don't want to do, but you have to do them. Sometimes they're bitter, sometimes they're sweet. But the thing is, we have to see what we're headed for. In other words, the vision. Without a vision, we'll perish, the Bible tells us. So that vision must be the goal that we're set forth. And if we go forth to that goal, we don't think what we're suffering in between time. Hebrews told us with Jesus, when he was on that cross, he considered not what the contradiction and everything he was going through, but he saw the prize and what lied ahead. He saw those millions of souls being saved through what he was going through. So therefore, he could push that aside, the horror that he went through, because he saw something that was going to yield forth, a great fruit that was going to come forth, to the sacrifice that he made and to the self-discipline that he did, you see. And that's where you and I have to be. We have to see the prize better than the so-called suffering or discipline that we have to do for ourselves, you see. And we must look at life that way, because too many people are kind of sloppy. They're just carefree. This, I'll do this when I feel like I might do this. I might do that. Wishy-washy, you know. That's double-minded, wishy-washy, and we're going to get nowhere doing that. You have to put your pedal to the metal, just like the old saying, you see. And the only way we can put our pedal to the metal is to say no to self, and I'm going to do what it's going to take for me to get to where I need to be. And all of our goals should be, I want to be and get to the place where God wants me to be. Now, Lord, you direct me the steps that I need to take, and I'm willing to do what I need to do, sacrifice whatever it is, in order to fulfill the step that you are directing me to do. And that must be our attitude, folks. There's no simple way about this, you know. People, so many times, they want everything should be a lot of fun, just rosy, no problems or anything. Don't want any making ways. We don't want anything with this or with that. You can't look at Christianity like that. You've got to do what God calls you to do, and sometimes it's the bitter with the sweet. But how sweet it is when you walk through these things, you become victorious, and you see God work in and through your life, and you see things happen because you're pleasing God, you see. So the prize is well worth of what we suffer in this life. In fact, the Bible even tells us, he says, that with the things that lie ahead, what we suffer in this whole life is not to be compared with the glory that lies ahead. So that's what we have to look at, you see, what it's going to yield, the fruit it's going to yield. The next thing, and this is a big thing, staying focused. Now, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here. Well, I'll quote them to you. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Colossians 3:1-2 tells us, says that if we then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. So what this is simply telling us, we have to focus and center our heart and our eyes upon Jesus Christ. We set our heart and our mind on the things of heaven, not on the things in this life. the things of heaven, you see, or put our affection, our love there, not love in this world, because you can't love the world and love God also. You cannot do that. He said, seek first the kingdom and all the things will be added to you. We must love God more than we love this world, you say. And anyhow, we have to stay focused that way. Now, let's break it into something, make it a little bit more simple, something we're going to get right down to where we live. Have you ever read the Bible? You were sitting there reading the Bible, then you nod off to sleep or almost fall asleep. Remember, the Bible falls out of your hand? I have. Have you ever started praying? And then it would come to your mind something, well, I forgot to run this errand here. Oh, I have to pay this bill. I forgot. Oh, I have to get some groceries here because we're going to have some people over tonight. We're going to do something. You see, these things, a lot of little things will try to come into your mind to disrupt you, to keep you unfocused here, you see. And that's in a small detail, but that does happen. That does happen when you are trying to, you're reaching out to do something here. You have little things that try to knock you off of focus. And that's where you and I must really deal with it, you see, because if we let the things focus, it's like if we're praying and something comes into our mind like that and it's a disruption, if we stop praying and go to do it or something, we're done unfocused right there and we messed up what we were doing, you see. We're defeating our purpose. But we need to stay focused when we're there. Now, it's another thing if God tells you something you're praying, then to step out and do something there. That's different. But I'm talking about the cares of this world, the things of this life, crowding in that you can't even hardly pray. You can't do this. You can't do that. We have to stay focused. And I found a lot of times in prayer, too, when I pray in tongues, I can be praying in the natural, or praying just the way I'm speaking now. But when I go into tongues, it helps a lot. And I start praising the Lord and just get focused and thinking about Him. They keep on the firing line there, you see. So we need to keep that in mind, because these are the little ways about being unfocused. You see, I spoke about staying focused on Jesus and doing things like that. I can speak generally, but let's speak of some of the things that we're affected by. Or it could be a phone call. You're doing something, a phone call will come or something like that, or somebody will come to the door or whatever. A lot of times these little interruptions happen, you know. We used to have that when we went soul winning a number of years ago, church where I was in at that time. We had a special soul winning. We covered a whole town. And we'd go out for twos. And when you're ministering to somebody, like I'd be ministering to somebody to lead them to Jesus, there's another person there that would take the phone call or the door or whatever in case the interruptions come in. It's sort of like the bystander, because if you're just there and something happens, you're going to be disrupted, you see. And many times those disruptions were resolved because that person would take care of the matter and wouldn't disrupt what I was doing there, and these people would receive Christ as their Savior. So you need to guard yourself against those things, because if the devil can't get you one way or another, he's going to try to get you unfocused or to kind of get your mind off of it and throw a lot of things at you. So remember, staying focused, staying focused. That's another key to this. And this is the same with the natural or the spiritual, because if you're playing a sport, if you're not focused on that sport, you're not going to do well. Just like if you're standing at a baseball game and you're not focused on that guy that's pitching to you, you're up the bat. If you don't focus on that thing, you're going to mess up. Maybe you'll get struck out or something else will happen. So you have to keep focused on that in the natural, just like the spiritual, like we said a few minutes ago. You have to stay focused. You'll get off track. So you see, being focused in the natural things or being focused in the spiritual things. Self-discipline in the natural things, the spiritual things. The right attitude in the spiritual things, the things you do that the Lord's directing you to do, or the spiritual things, you say. We have to maintain. These are laws that govern no matter what you're doing. They're must. They are not optional. They are must if we're going to attain what we're headed for. Okay, the next thing is sowing and reaping. The Bible says in Galatians 6:7 that whatever we sow, we will reap. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. Now, there's a way to look at that a lot of people mess up with on this. They think, well, if you sow money, or if you do this, you're going to get this, or if you do this, you'll get that. But you have to consider something. Your words are seed that you sow also. The things you say, your actions are seed that you sow. And we have to make sure our words and our actions are good words, good actions. We don't want to sow bad seeds because, you know, bad seeds bring forth a harvest like good seeds do. And I don't want to sow bad seeds out there and have it come back on me. so bad words out there to somebody, then have these bad words come back on me. And, you know, I know myself, and I know it's happened to me, and it's happened to anybody that's listening, and anybody that ever lived on this earth, except for Jesus himself. We have done things sometimes, and it seems like we're going through a stream of hits on our life. Some hard things can, you know, come our way. We're being attacked or whatever. You know, sometimes, and I've stopped and thought about this, and you know, sometimes it might be a result of bad seeds that we sowed. It wasn't the devil attacking us now. It was bad seeds that we sowed is coming back on us. In other words, what we sow, we're reaping some sour grapes here, you see. So that's why we want to make sure that we're saying good things and we're doing good things and sowing good seeds. I want a harvest of good things. I want a harvest of finance and health. I want a harvest of blessings, of joy, of peace. I want things like this. I don't want things coming against me that are going to hurt me. But I have to consider and just watch, what am I putting out there? What am I saying? What am I doing? Am I putting good stuff out there? Or am I gossiping, running everything and everybody down, condemning everybody and everything and cussing at them or whatever? Am I doing bad things like that? I mean, these things that we have to really recognize and make sure that we're doing right, because the Bible says we are snared by our words. We're snared by our words. You see, you can be snared or hindered by your words, and we've done that. I know if anything has gotten me in trouble, and I'm sure you'll say the same thing, it's been our mouth. Our mouth, our tongue has got us in trouble. So we need to consider that always. We need to be more watchful of that right there. So remember, what you sow, you're going to reap. When you sow, like a farmer sows corn, he's going to reap corn. If he sows tomatoes, he's going to reap tomatoes. So you sow finances, God's going to bless you financially. If you sow healing, you know, by ministering to people, praying for the sick, doing things like that, you're going to be multiplied by healing, back to your healing, you see. If you're praying for people, ministering to people, and you know, praying for and ministering to them, there's got to be people ministering to you and praying for you. The more you're praying for others, the more they're going to be praying for you also, you see. And you mightn't even know them, but God will lay it on their hearts or whatever. But people will be praying for you, because what you're putting out there, God is putting on you. That's why he says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. If you put him first, these things follow you up in a greater dimension than what you give out, you see. You might sow one and you get 20 back, okay? He gives it back to you more than what you sow. He's a great multiplier, like the fishes and the loaves, right? So that's where we have to look at. Know that it's not in vain. He said in Galatians 6:9, be not weary in well-doing, for you will reap in due season if you don't faint. So you see, it's a sure thing. It's money in the bank of heaven, you see. It's not going to be stolen, moth or rust will not corrupt it. It's there for you, because God bottles everything up in heaven. Matter of fact, every tear that you shed is bottled up in heaven. Everything that we do, we don't realize that many times, that the smallest detail that we completely forgot about, God has kept track of it. We're going to be rewarded on the good things. If we're a bad thing, that's not good, you say. But concentrating doing the good things, that's all in our favor, you say. So make sure that you are sowing, because remember, when you want to receive anything of God, you have to be a sower. You see, God didn't get any souls. Jesus didn't get any souls. The Holy Spirit didn't get any souls. To Jesus, to God the Father, sowed his son Jesus. And through that, that's what happened. He got souls, you see. He's a New Testament. He's the testator, and of course, it's the New Testament. He died for us, you see. He paid the price, but God sacrificed his only begotten son, sowed his seed, that seed for us, and look at the great return that's coming back to him, you see. But God himself sowed the seed, the greatest seed ever sowed, Jesus Christ. So therefore, that's this God way of doing business. So you and I must sow too. That's the way God does it, you see. That's the way he blesses us. And we have to do the things the way God has ordained things to be done. So we need to be sowers out there, encouragers of others. The greatest thing is being kind to one another. You know, so often today in this world, people are so snotty and so mean to one another, and don't seem to care for one another, or caught up in their own lives, and just really don't care. And we need to be kind to one another, talk nice and smile and show an interest in them, and try to help them and be there for them, and just be the type of, well, I'll tell you what, how you would like to be treated, just consider how you'd like somebody to respond to you when you're hurting, and that's the way you should demonstrate to others when they're hurting, you see. what you want to come back to you in your time of need, you need to be dishing it out to others too. What you don't want to come back to you, you don't want to give that to others, you see. Just make sure you're sowing what you want to come back to you, because it will. Okay, the next thing is a strong physical body and a strong spiritual body. And this is where a lot of people, I love to talk about this one. If you want a strong physical body, that requires a lot of discipline, doesn't it? You should be eating right, doing the right thing, getting your rest and everything, working out, lifting weights, everything that you can possibly do. And I've done that. I used to do it. In fact, I still work out to keep in shape. And what you have to recognize, what I have to recognize, that when you do these things, you don't always feel like doing them. You don't always feel like doing them. But in spite of what you feel like doing in that physical body of yours, you have to do it if you want to receive the fruit of it. If you want to receive the reward of it, you must do it, you see. You must do that. You must be willing to do that, because if you don't work out, if you don't do the things to keep in shape, and you just rather sit at on the couch watching TV, you're going to look like a couch. You're going to pick up weight, and you're just eating, and you're not going to feel good. You're just going to really feel lousy. But you won't feel good. But if you go, if you work out, and I'm not just talking about lifting heavy weights, doing things like that, but calisthenics, things like that. If you do these things, you might not always feel like it, and sometimes you don't even want to do it, and you hurt times when you do it. But the thing is, if you do those things, what's going to happen, you're going to find it's going to make a change in your body. Your body's going to be in shape. Your body's going to feel good. And if you do that, what's going to happen, you're going to develop yourself and you're going to be healthy, you see. It's going to be pain, like the old saying, no pain, no gain. It's not always pleasant. I know when I went up to the gym working out with weights and things like that, it wasn't too pleasant at that time. You'd work up a sweat, it didn't feel great, and you didn't feel that great. But when I took a shower and got dressed again, man, I felt like $1 million. Well, let's take that in the spiritual realm now. That's our physical body. In the spiritual realm, we have to work out the real us, the spiritual man inside this body. This is just a vehicle we're in, this body we work out with. But the real spirit man, how do we work out with him? Well, the best way, a lot of times, you want to build him up really strong is using your faith muscles. Use your faith, you see, on living your life. You have to practice, like, believing for things. It might be a physical healing. Maybe it's something you have need of. Maybe somebody to be saved. Maybe it could be any number of reasons, because in life, just by living day by day, there's things that happen we pray about and are believing God to change and is standing for and believing things to work out and things that he has us to do, believing that we're going to be able to do them. We're exercising our faith one way or the other. We're either exercising our faith in the positive realm that I'm going to do it and I can do it and I believe I got it. We're exercising the negative faith is I don't believe it, I don't have it, I'm messing up, I can't do it. So you see, you're exercising either positive faith to get it done or negative faith, which is fostered by fear, that you won't make it, you see. But you're going to make a decision. It's either going to be a faith decision for it, or you're going to just give up on it and just not going to use your faith. But we need to use our faith. That's one aspect of it. And when we use our faith, sometimes it's very difficult for things we stand on. Sometimes it's a time-consuming thing, and everything that we are believing for seems to be going the opposite direction. It appears like our faith isn't working. It's going a different direction. It's not going to happen. But yet, we have to maintain in patience and simply believe it and say it. I'm believing for this thing to manifest. I believe it's done. I believe it's done. It began that way. And when we hold to that, that's what breaks the devil's back, you see. That's why the Bible tells us in James 1:4 that we're to leave patience, have her perfect work, and we'll lack nothing. When you apply faith, you must stand with patience no matter what you feel, no matter what you hear, no matter what you see, no matter what anybody says. You need to hold to that, because the Bible says that you have got it if you believe it and you act upon it, you see. We have to go by what the Bible says, not by what anybody else says, but what the Bible says, and that's exercising faith. And that can be painful. Sometimes I've been stretching my faith already. Sometimes I thought I was going to break. In fact, it really broke me almost sometimes. But what happened is God is stretching us. He's stretching us to be stronger, that we can stand and endure more and be able to stand strong and not be moved very easily. We become solid and strong as a pillar, you see, and that's what God's trying to take us to. And when we do that with faith, when we exercise that, we're saying right now for our spiritual body, when we do that, what happens is we become stronger in that aspect. And then when we exercise our spiritual body by doing the things he wants us to do, like we said, being kind to one another, allowing him to use us for the gifts of the Spirit, living in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, found in Galatians 5:22-23, applying the scriptures it says to do, that's how we build him up. Because we're to walk in what the Bible says. I'm to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit in my life, found in Galatians 5:22-23. Walk in love, walk in faithfulness, and all these things, you see. And the gifts of the Spirit and the supernatural, you see. So we have to do what the book says to do. And you'll be exercising your spiritual muscles when you do that. In fact, that is a good fight of faith. We aren't fighting any. The only battle we have is to take God's word and make it a reality in our lives. That's a good fight of faith. Obeying God's word, walking in what the Bible tells us, and making sure it's a reality in our lives. And that's what takes faith, and that is exercising your faith. We're not fighting the devil. We're not fighting people. We're fighting the fight of faith to make God's word a reality to us. His word says we can have this. His word says we can do this. His word says we are this. So therefore, I want to make it a reality in my life, and it's not just something I can have or do, but I want to be it also, you see. There's a time it needs to manifest in our lives. It needs to be a reality. It begins in the spirit world. It's promised in the spirit world, but it's up to you and I to bring it in the natural world by our faith and by our patience and by our believing, as you say. So we have to be at that place in our lives that we have to exercise that, and it's a day-by-day-by-day process. It isn't something we get to overnight. We grow in these things, you see. But this is how we build it up, just like a physical body. If you want to get a Hercules-type body, that takes years of building up. As you see, these guys are look like Man Mountain Dean almost, that muscular. They have about 30-inch arms or whatever. They worked for years like that, and it wasn't easy. And that's the way it is with our spiritual walk, to become a strong man, strong woman of faith. We exercise those muscles, apply God's word to our life, and make it a reality. Dare to believe him, dare to walk in it, and you become stronger and stronger. Your spirit man, you see. You can't see your spirit man with your naked eyes, but that spirit man looks like Hercules when you build him up. You see, you might have a frail little body, not very big, it might be like a Barney Fife type situation, but yet you can be a Hercules inside. You might be a Hercules inside, and it's better to be a Hercules inside than a Hercules outside, because the one inside, your inside, the real you is eternal. The outside of you isn't eternal. That's going to go at the grave or at the rapture. So we need to recognize that. It's going to be some pain in this spiritual walk, folks. It isn't all peaches and cream and roses. That's why so many Christians get so upset when things get hard and rough and they're down in the mully grubs and, oh, my, this is horrible. This is horrible. I can't do this. Oh, I'm going to quit. I'm going to give up. Well, you see, that's why we can't do that, because if we want to have a strong spiritual being body, you see, if we want to have that, we can't quit. We need to keep going forth, you see. And we have to recognize no pain, no gain. But I'll tell you, it's sweet to be an overcomer as you walk in God's word and see victory in God's word and becoming a reality in your life. That is a sweet thing, seeing God work in your life and through your life. And it gets, like the old expression, gooder and gooder as you walk in these things, because it's a joy. It's a joy. It's a blessing to reach certain plateaus. We go from plateau or from glory to glory, and he takes us to certain levels. And it's really sweet when you get to certain areas, then another area you go up, then you have it a little harder to get up the next one, a little harder the next. Just when you think you've arrived, you start out in another one. Then when you think you're arrived, you start out in another one, because we never finish growing, you see. So plan on having a strong spirit body, spiritual man, spiritual woman, and know it requires you to use your faith in the word of God and anything that comes your way. Find out what the word of God has to say about the situation in your life. Then use your faith there to correct that situation if it's a negative situation. Okay, the next thing is strong relationships. Strong relationships. And, you know, this is a common sense one. You know, if you really want a stronger relationship with people, what's the best way to have a strong relationship? Well, the best thing to have a strong relationship with them is you need to be with them and spend time with them, right? So that tells me that I need to spend time with God, talking to him, fellowshipping with him, praying, you see. We need to spend time with them, develop that relationship. They talk to you, you talk to them. You talk to God, he talks to you. The same way, you're talking to a man or a woman, becoming friends with them and closer and closer relationship, but learning more about them. They learn more about you, and you get to love one another more, understand one another more, and become closer, right? That's the same thing with God. You talk to him, he talks to you, you get to learn more about him. And, of course, he knows about you. He doesn't have to learn about you. He knows, but we learn more about him. And we read his word, and we pray, and he tells us things. He speaks to us. And if we do that, we learn and understand more about him. He reveals himself to us. So, therefore, if we do that, then we have a stronger relationship because we know him better. When you first got saved, you didn't know what in the world, what it was with God, did you? But as you grew, he became more real to you. You knew more about Jesus. You learned how the Holy Spirit works in your life. And you knew what Father God did and what he does and understood the operation there and what God's doing. And we continually learn and grow in that. But we have to spend time with him. We have to put our minds to him and our hearts to him. And he talks to us. In fact, he talks to us all the time. The problem is we don't listen. Sometimes we get so caught up in what we're doing or our own personal lives that we just kind of turn that radio off, the spiritual radio off, and just keep what we can see with our eyes on, you know, and that's bad because the answer is in Jesus, not in us or what we think. So he's the answer to all of our problems, so we have to keep focused to him. But you have to spend time with him. Talk to him, he'll talk to you for a strong relationship. Then you can maybe come to the place, be a friend of God, you know, like Abraham was. He was a friend of God. Okay, the next thing, faith and expectation. Now, I'm going to read a scripture, and I'm going to give you a simple thing here to just think about. The Bible says in Mark 11:24, it says, the things that you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. That's what the scripture tells us, right? Okay, in other words, when I pray for something, I speak something, I believe I've got it. Even though I don't see it now, it didn't manifest in my life now, but because I asked for it, I believe it began in the Spirit, and I've got it. And I say I've got it in the Spirit. And that's it. I consider it done, right? Okay, that's what he wants you to do. We believe, we receive it, then we'll get it. God says, believe, and I'll show you. The world says, show me, and I'll believe. But you see, it's the opposite. You don't have to believe when it's showed to you. You have to believe before you got it. Now, let me give you a little illustration, a little example here. You all work at a place. Say you work at a factory, and you get paid every Friday. Okay, you go in, we'll say Sunday ends your work week, and you go in. Okay, that week you're going into work, and you know you get paid Friday. Do you really, are you concerned, or are you worried, or are you thinking about, what am I going to get paid? Are they going to get my paycheck this week? Or am I going to get my check? Are you really kind of upset about that and not sleeping and say, I claim I get my paycheck because I'm working here, I'm doing that. Oh, I must have that check. Are you doing that? I'll tell you, when I worked in my years of working in secular jobs, when I did that, I never much considered my getting paid because most places, I know there's some places that probably don't pay as they should, but most places, 99%, you work at a place, you don't even think about your paycheck. You know the man's going to come around and pay you on Friday, right? You don't even consider that. You might be looking forward to it coming. You need the money. Hey, I can't wait till Friday gets here. But you don't consider not being paid. In fact, if you get $400 paycheck, say that comes to you, you on Monday you already have it marked down. Well, I'll have $400 coming in Friday. Then you have plans to do with whatever you're going to do with it, right? You don't consider, well, what if I don't have the $400? What am I going to do? But you already mark it down, you see. I have $400 coming. I have $100 for this, $50 for that. But you don't consider not getting it. Well, let me tell you something. That's the way you and I are supposed to be with God and his word. When we pray and claim something and stand in his word and declare it, whether it's healing, whether it's God's going to meet a certain need here or there, or whatever it is, the point is that's more sure than that place paying you because God is more reputable in that factory you work at. In other words, if you pray and believe for something, you need to take that to the bank, just like you've taken that $400 you're going to get on Friday to the bank. You know, I got it, so I'm not even thinking about not getting it. I already got it. It's a done deal. And that's the way you need to consider the Word of God. That's the way He wants you and I to consider it. That's what this scripture means, the thing that you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So that's the way it is. It's that simple. Just like you expect your paycheck every Friday, it's what, if you work, that is. That's the way you need to look at the Word of God. When you pray and believe for something, hey, I've got it, and that's it. I'm not going to worry about it because that's fear. That's not faith. That's taken out of God's hand, because when you worry about it, or you are thinking about it and say, uh-oh, what about this, what about that, you see, you're wavering. You're double-minded, and the double-minded man doesn't receive anything. But you need to consider it. When you hand it to him, it's there, I've got it, and say, thank you, Lord, walk away. Thank you, Lord, we prayed you for it. Walk away and go on your business and do something else. That's what he wants us to do. Commit that thing to him, walk away, and get on to the next thing, whatever you're doing. Not give it to him and then walk away and then go to do something else and then start, oh, wow, I hope this, oh, what if this doesn't happen? You see, that's where we can get ourselves in trouble. And it's sometimes it's very tempting. You know, it'll hit your mind. But you know what I do if I'm believing for something and it attacks me like that, where I want to ask him again or start to maybe murmur? I'll just say, thank you, Lord. I thank you that I've got it. I thank you that I've asked you for it, and I've got it. Your word says it, and that's it. Thank you, Lord. And then I feel better already. I even felt good just saying that right now, because I've already said it. I've done it. I believe it. And, hey, that's it. I'm re-encouraging myself. I'm encouraging myself not to get off on a negative slant and say the wrong things to God or the wrong things to others, you say. Thank Him for it. Don't ask Him for it. Again, Lord, I thank you that I have it. I thank you that I have it. And you'll find if you do that, it'll lift you up inside. It'll lift you up and it'll give you more confidence, because God's Word says that. By His stripes I am healed. I thank you that I have my healing. I'm not going to consider anything different. I've got it. I thank you, Lord. And then go on about your business. When you feel like doing it, that's what you do instead of murmuring or saying, oh, what if I don't have it, or asking him for it again, because you don't have to do that. But that's where the enemy tries to steal from us, you see, to put that seed of doubt in us. So that's how we do it with faith and expectation. See, expectation and faith go hand in hand. In other words, when you pray, you've got to expect. You've got to expect it. If you have a question mark over expectation, you're not in faith. Faith expects it to happen. It doesn't hope it'll happen. Faith expects it, you see. Your expectation is God's invitation. So you must have expectancy. Don't pray if you don't expect it to happen. You're just wasting your breath. Too many people I've heard pray already, when they pray and then something miraculous will happen. Oh my, we prayed and that happened. Can you believe that happened? We prayed for that. Wow, they should be believing it's going to happen. They shouldn't just say, oh, my heavens, this happened here. We prayed and it actually happened. You mean it actually worked? You call that faith praying? I don't call that faith praying. That's like a scattershot there. And you don't do it that way. When you pray for something, you expect it. And you expect it because the Word of God says it. If you have a right heart in what you're praying for, if your heart is right, no unforgiveness, and you have a right heart in serving God and love God, you take His word, there's nothing holding you back from receiving it. But you just claim that, and you just stand on that until it manifests in your life. That's Bible right there, folks. And I feel great when I say things like that, because that's the Holy Ghost. Make me feel good inside, because that's His word. That's His truth, and He reminds each one of us that. We never hear that too often, folks. You never get to the place you hear that too often, because that's God's way. He said, God spoke of things that aren't as though they were. He spoke what wasn't as though it wasn't, it became, right? When He spoke the world into existence. Okay, faith and expectation. Next thing, and this is something we have to learn and see, you see how these things are really, you can apply them in the natural, because like a different illustration I've given here, you have to have this type of thing in the spiritual, and it works. The next thing, consistency day by day. Well, let me ask you this. Day by day, when you do things, like if you're building a house, do you expect to build that house in that day? No, you do it day by day, don't you? If you're a bricklayer or a carpenter or what have you, day by day until the house gets built. that's the same in spiritual things. Maybe you want to be a teacher. God directs you to be a teacher of the gospel, preacher of the gospel, evangelist, what have you, pastor. Day by day you do these things. You grow and you learn day by day, and you become more proficient at it, you see. You start to build this thing day by day, just like the carpenter or the bricklayer does at home. And it's a day-by-day consistency. So therefore, we need to be faithful, don't we? Because if you're building a house, you want to be faithful building each day, don't you? Well, if you're building the kingdom of God, which you and I are supposed to do, we are building the kingdom of God. So that means that you and I are to be faithful. And by the way, that's another fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 and 23, is being faithful. Because if you're not faithful, if you're sketchy, if you're not faithful, it'd be just like you have a job. Say you work 5 days a week and you win Monday. Then you take off to Wednesday. Then you come back on Friday. Then you don't come back until next Tuesday. How long do you think you're going to have that job? You wouldn't think about doing that in your job because you want to keep your job. Most people wouldn't think of you. They'd be afraid to lose your job. And you would. Well, what about God being faithful to him? We say, well, I'll be faithful to you Sunday, but on Wednesday, I'll be faithful again, but then I won't be faithful till the next Tuesday because I'm going to take a little vacation from you, God. I'm not going to be faithful to you there, you say. I'm not going to be doing what I should do day by day. I know there's steps for me to take each day, but I don't feel like it, so I'm just going to kind of skip a day there. No. It's a day-by-day walk. What's the Bible say? Give me this day my daily bread. There's daily bread for you and I each day. Did you know that? He has things for you and I to do, to receive, to be, to say, and I don't know what all. Whatever he wants for me this day, that's the way I pray when I get up in the morning. What do you have for me this day? What is it? What can I do? What can I be? What should I have? What should I do, Lord? I get up knowing nothing. Then he directs my steps. He'll open doors, send somebody in maybe, or somebody might email me, or what have you. I don't know what. But I got to have my daily bread, you see. Because if I don't take it daily, maybe this day, you know, I can say, well, I'll skip a day here, Lord. Well, do you know, if I skip tomorrow's daily bread, and then I come back in on tomorrow's Tuesday, and I come back on Wednesday and ask for that daily bread, I might be able to get that daily bread because that was a one-time shot. We want to get our daily bread every day. What we're to receive, what we're to do, what we're to be, what we're to learn, what we're to give, you name it. Everything that God has for our lives, our steps daily. He has a plan for you daily. So we must be consistently faithful day by day, by day, by day, by day, by day. And that's something that we really need to do. And I'm not pounding on things. I'm just saying for our own good, because many times we mess up in these things and we wonder why we get messed up. We're not functioning the way we should function. And God's trying to straighten us all out to be what we're to be daily, you say. Okay, last but not least, never give up. The Bible says in Galatians 6:9 that we're not to be weary in well-doing, but we'll reap in due season if we don't faint. Well, giving up, it's hit all of us one time or another. I've had those things. I'm not going to lie to you. And anybody else that's honest won't lie to you about it, because anybody that's serious about the ministry and has a ministry that's worthwhile, you've had to come to that place. You've had to come to that place. Even Jesus said, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours. And the thing about it isn't wrong that we feel like giving up. It's not wrong that we feel like this or don't feel like that. There's nothing wrong with that, because you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from landing in your hair, can't you? I can't stop these things from flying over my head, but I can certainly stop them by not acting upon these feelings and what's coming against me. And that's the way with you. You can do that too, you see. We all can do that. That's what God expects out of us, not to yield to this temptation. And this is building our spirit man up like we were talking about too, because there's temptations in life. And the more we become more proficient in the things of God, the bigger the devils are, the bigger the temptations are, the harder things are. Things hit you strangely sometimes that you never heard of before, you never saw. Things happen that you don't know of. You say, what in the world's going on? But recognize when things come against you, hey, you're still serving the same God. You're still serving Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it's still him and his power and the greater one within me. Amen. 1 John 4:4. So I have to keep that in mind in spite of what comes to me, that I say, what in the world is this, you know, and it tries to rock me off my feet. We have to recognize that, hey, I have the greater one within me, and I can do all things through him, you see. We have to keep these things in mind, because today we're in a day that everybody wants to make a change. You know, the world's changing. This is changing. It's changing for the worse in a lot of cases right now, a lot of things that we're seeing. What's happening now 40 years ago, you wouldn't even dreamt about, you see. And a lot of people that are hearing this right now know very well what I'm talking about. Back in time, or especially in the time when I was growing up, it's a different world. But the same Bible, the same truth, the same Word of God, the same principles, the same teachings are in effect now, just like they were back in the day of Christopher Columbus. So, folks, it doesn't change. And if we remain unmoved, founded on the unchanging gospel of Jesus Christ, and I hate to use this word, you know, religion is not related. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship, which is a song called that old-time religion. And anyhow, we got to get that old-time Bible, what it boils down to. That's got what God has taken us back to it. Holy living, believing the power of God, walking the power of God, walking in love. We need to get back to those principles there and just leave this world do what it wants to do, but do what we need to do, plowing through this thing and redeeming as many as we can, getting through there, because we need to show them what we are. They're quick to show what they are and what they believe. We need to be quicker to show who we are, not to hide it in fear. But they're bold. The devil is bold right now. He is bold. He comes out there and shameful things that they're doing right now, things that if anybody with any brains in their head, if they had anything in their head, they wouldn't do them. They'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed of what a lot of these people do, and so would you. But they aren't, so the devil is bold, has a hold of this thing. So you and I, as men and women of God, we need to take the Word of God and apply that Word of God and walk in these things, demonstrating what God has to say about this thing. And we'll see who's God the biggest, the devil or our God, which we know who is. Amen? You're on the winning side, folks. I read this Bible clear through, and at the end I found out that we won this battle. Amen? In fact, the Lord won the battle, or the war, but you and I have the battle of faith to fight. Our part is to do the daily battle of faith by the Word of God. He sees to it that we win the war, doesn't he? Okay. These are just a few things. I won't say this is conclusive, but you have these things under your belt and understand these things in your life. It's going to take you somewhere, because these are powerful things that I taught you. Like, these are some good stuff here, folks. Attitude. You need to have that right attitude. Self-discipline. Staying focused. Sowing and reaping, a strong physical body and a strong spiritual body, strong relationships, faith and expectation, consistency day by day, and never giving up. And if we apply these things, what I was talking about tonight, if we apply this to our lives, what's going to happen is we are going to see God escalating us. He's lifting us up. You see, God is changing your life. He's changing my life. Getting us into more, looking more like Jesus, thinking more like Jesus, becoming more like Jesus with different desires, different things. He's moving some people away from us. He's moving some people to us. He's causing us to desire certain things and lose our desire for other things. He's changing us. He's building a remnant now, folks. He's building a remnant. And I'm giving you teachings of a remnant believer, one that's going to be a mighty warrior before Christ returns, because we're getting ready to do the last battle before Jesus returns, the remnant battle here, because God has pulled all the stops out, and he's getting you and I to the place where we're going to be effective for him like never before, and going to win souls like never before, and he's going to take the front stage and show himself as God, not as to be mocked by some of these morons on night TV programs and everything. And I say morons because I have no respect for people who desecrate on the things of God, that do things like that. And he's going to show these people he's for real, and he's going to open some eyes to some people one way or the other. And he wants to show himself to this world. He wants to show himself that he is God. He's been quiet for a long time, and a lot of people look at God as a great big Santa Claus. He won't do anything to me. He's not going to do anything to me. He's not going to hurt me. He loves me. Well, he does. He loves us, but he's made a way and a plan for us. And he says, folks, I've made a way and a plan for you, but if you don't follow that plan, you're out in the cold, you see. He has a covenant, and it was up to us to get into that covenant. And some of these things that I've taught you tonight and spoke about are things that you and I need to put into practice. But if we will do these things, we will find that our life will be taken to a place that we never knew it could be taken to, because God will be taking us there. It won't be us, but he promotes you. He promotes me. We don't promote ourselves. He promotes you. He gives the opportunity. He brings favor to you. He brings people to you. He makes provision for you. But he's going to lift you and me up if we do these things. Amen? Okay. Well, praise God, praise God, praise God. Another thing I wanted to share with you before we sign off tonight is I have a website. In fact, those that are on the computer, you can see there it has my website down there in that where the pictures are, those beautiful pictures that Landis Montell puts up each week in the programs. There are really wonderful pictures. And anyhow, it has on there, and I'll give it to you. If you have a pencil and paper, and I'll give you my email address that you can contact me. I want you to feel free for prayer, for requests, for if you have any questions, if you want to talk to me, what have you, you name it, but, or testify, testimony to what God has done through the program here or what you're believing for. But just feel free to contact me. I'm going to give you both of them. In fact, the other night I went on my website. There was 8 different countries on there. And I'm seeing from all over, a lot of different countries are tuning in there and everything. So I'm really encouraged by that. I'll give you my website. It's www.tinyurl.com/Ed Eberle. I'll do that again. They're all small cases. www.tinyurl.com/Ed Eberle, Eberly. My email is this, extended, hands, HANDS, OF, Jesus, JESUS, at yahoo.com. There again, extended, extended, hands, HANDS, of Jesus, OF, JESUS, at yahoo.com. So I want you to feel free to contact me to check the website. I also have a book on there. And in fact, you can order it there, or you can just contact me, which would be better yet, and I can get it off to you. On that, if you see it there. But there's a lot of information, a lot of teaching, and a lot of there's 4 special miracles on my website right there, too. You'll see as you scroll down, you'll see a lot of things there. But I invite you to look at the website, and I invite you to give testimony of what God is doing through these programs here. Any prayer requests, like I say, any needs, well, if you want to talk to me personally, we can arrange that too, because I've done that. I've talked to many people from overseas as well as in the United States here, so I want to just give you that opportunity, okay? And remember, always testify what God has done through them, because I know it's a blessing to all of us here at Reaching Out Radio International to hear what God is doing. It encourages every one of us. We need to hear those things. We need to know that things are happening. I know when I hear things like that, it always encourages me, and you know it encourages you too if you'd be sitting here like this. So I want to invite you to do that, and I want to invite you back in next week, and you all have a blessed week now. I love you, and just go with Jesus, because he has a plan for your life. Let him direct your steps, and just watch where he'll take you. I love you all, and we'll see you next week now. Good night, everybody.